This is Tim Peel, former National Hockey League referee. You're listening to Blues Hockey Podcast.
Yo,
and we have our big 2023-2024 Blues, St. Louis Blues preview show. We got some questions from the fans. We have a little bit of news and notes, a little bit of breakdown of everything going on, and finally our predictions and maybe some bold predictions at that. So I'll say that's it. How's it going, Chris?
Good. Yourself?
It's going well. Beginning of the season has started. I did see. We're recording about 8:15 at night. Chris needs to get to bed soon. He's gonna get up early, so we'll see how this goes. I saw Ryan O'Reilly got the first Nashville Predators goal of the season.
Yep, and of course he's on my bench tonight.
Oh no. Yeah. I thought I knew you had him. So
yep, he's riding the pine tonight.
Which is one of our questions. I saw that I know the Bedard Pittsburgh game got started already. So
yep.
Our friend Rick is watching that with great interest. But speaking of fantasy, so Chris, today, I don't know if you saw online, I did put my fantasy team up against your fantasy team. And coincidentally, we do play each other this week.
Oh, awesome.
So thank you for benching Ryan O'Reilly tonight.
You're, That's going to help me. You're very welcome.
So
happy to do it.
So as of right now, I left this up for a week, so we'll pick this up and record next. Chris has a slight edge on what you guys think has a better, who has a better team.
Well, that's shocking to me, to be honest.
It's 55 to 45%.
Well, I'll find a way to mess it up, trust me.
Yeah, so far people are liking your team a little bit more than mine, and I agree with that. I got a lot of rookies on my team, so if mine pan out,
yeah, but
I could have a really great year.
That's right.
Or luckily I did a little tweaking today. Luckily, somebody in our team on our league did not pick up Aaron Ekblad for some reason.
I almost drafted him in the last round, to be honest, when I saw he was out there.
Yeah, he was hurt. So I just packed him up and threw him on IR and just leave him there until further notice, and we'll see what happens. So that's a little bit of a fantasy thing I want to throw out there to start. We'll throw some – as the season goes on, I'm going to throw some – we'll talk about our fantasy teams and kind of what we're thinking fantasy-wise just to give you guys a clue where we're at.
Sorry, I didn't mean to launch that highlight. It's 1-0. It's 1-0 Pittsburgh right now.
Oh, nice.
Just starting the second period.
There you go. So some early updates on some NHL games. So the Blues are currently in Frisco. And I thought they said Frisco. I legit thought that San Francisco there to shorten it up on the website. No, they're in Frisco
Texas.
Home
of Order 66 Toys.
Oh, so there. And Chris was just there less than a week ago.
Yep.
So definitely check that place out, Chris. Give me some pictures.
Oh, my God.
Any kind of a Star Wars nerd.
If you're any kind of a like science fiction nerd at all, and you like, if you're our age and grew up collecting action figures, it's paradise. There were so many things there that reminded me of my childhood, and there were so many things there that I didn't know that they made. Like, did you know that Bill Burr has an action figure from his character in The Mandalorian?
I might have seen it maybe once, but no,
I didn't know it was a thing, but it's there.
Yeah,
there's a Cara Dune action figure.
Yeah.
Like, if there was somebody who made a 30-second appearance in The Mandalorian, they've got an action figure, and Order 66 Toys has it.
Yeah, so that sounds cool. So I didn't know that was there, so I saw Frisco, Texas. So maybe some Blues players are stopping by Order 66 Toys and checking some stuff out.
It would be hella cool if they did.
Yeah. So the Blues are on their little team bonding excursion before the opening game, which is this Thursday, against the Dallas Stars. So
I saw them last week against the Dallas Stars.
Played very well that night, mind you. They're playing maybe the B squad of Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, look, they were playing the starting goaltender. The defense seemed to be mostly intact. Obviously, a lot of the big scorers for the Dallas Stars were not in that game last Thursday, but the Blues looked solid. You know, what I took away from that game was that the Blues were finding the open ice much better than they did at all last season.
So, yeah, I'm kind of curious to see. I saw watched a little bit of the Chicago game on the Saturday while we were drafting our teams. But overall, I think that was okay in this preseason. So we'll kind of see how things go.
What did they finish the preseason at? What was their record?
4-2-2.
Okay.
So there's some split squad games in there and some other stuff. But they won their last two. They won the Dallas game and they won the Chicago game. So 5-3 against Chicago and 4-0 against Dallas in Dallas. Yeah. So as the Blues open their season, hopefully looking to rebound from last year. Last year was the bottom fell out very quickly on this team. A team expected to compete for Stanley Cup last year did not happen. Bottomed out at 81 points with a 37-38-7 record. They got the 10th overall pick in the draft, drafting Dalibor Dvorsky, and getting another two first rounders then. So the Blues after that weren't very active in free agency. They did pick up old friend Oscar Sundquist and old friend Mackenzie McEachern. So
I mean,
some guys that were instrumental. I say, well, Sundquist more than McEachern on the 2019 Stanley Cup team.
It's also worth noting they did try to pull off a pretty big deal, and it just got squashed by Krug's no trade.
Yeah, so we're going to get that next. So the Blues did bring in Kevin Hayes for virtually nothing. Got half his salary retained for three seasons. So instead of being almost a $7 million player, he's about a $3 million player, and being on our third line center, I think works out pretty good.
Yeah, Kevin, man.
For you're picking up a guy for basically – that makes three guys that he's picked – that I say he is Doug Armstrong has picked up for virtually nothing in the last 6 months. Maybe 7 months, depending on what the exact date was. But you're looking at Kevin Hayes for basically a seventh round pick and I believe a low player. I have to look the exact trade up and have it in front of me. You got Kasperi Kapanen for nothing off waivers.
Yeah, really waivers.
And then Jakub Vrána for a seventh rounder and a draft pick and half a salary retained.
Right.
So you're getting almost close to $8 million worth of players here for nothing, hoping for a rebound. And mind you, Vrána played very well at the end, and I think Kapanen did as well.
I think both of those guys played exceptionally well for the Blues down the stretch at the end of last year. And I'm hoping we see a full season of that this year, because right now they look like fantastic steals. I thought I watched Hayes as much as I could last week in Dallas. I thought he was okay. He didn't.
As one goal in the preseason.
It seemed like Kapanen and Vrána very quickly made their presence known on this team when they came over. Whereas Hayes, there were large stretches of time where I forgot he was even on the team, and then he'd skate by and be like, oh yeah, we have Kevin Hayes.
Yep. And I guess a final here, I just saw Nashville with a loss to start the year.
Correct. 4-3, I believe. Or 5-3, I think there was an empty netter.
I think empty netter at the end. I did see the goal. One goal. That goal was a shootout goal. Braden Hagel scored against Saros. Wow. So interesting there. So Hayes was acquired for a sixth round pick. So not much. They were just looking to shake things up. Hayes is unhappy due to John Tortorella, basically. Hayes kind of fits the Blues mold. 6'5", 216 pounds. Just turned 30 years old. Almost 31, actually. I still think it's a good pickup. I think it's something that they can hold out that helps kind of bridge the gap for a couple of years.
I agree with you.
I think Hayes can play center. Let's say things work out, and let's say Dvorsky is doing well and enough that he is ready for NHL next year. Dvorsky can come in and play center on your third line if you have to. Hayes can go to the second line, and you push Shen over to the wing. And then if somebody gets hurt, you have plenty of centers. So, it's never not a bad thing to have enough centers. I think the Blues for a long time never really had great centers, and now we have a plethora, which I'm fine with that.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, the center was the position, much like goaltender, that for the longest time it was the Blues. Man, when are we going to get a legit number one center? And now I agree with you. It feels like we have centers in spades now, and now it's finding wingers and defensemen.
Yeah, so you're looking at down the center now. You have Thomas, Shen, Hayes, and Sundquist. I think that's pretty decent, at least to start. So not a bad pickup at the end. So the Blues really didn't do much the rest of the offseason. The other changes that we're going to talk about they made was behind the bench. So wasn't the main coach, as in Craig Berube. He will be back for his this is the last year of his contract, so that's kind of interesting. I believe that
do you think he's re-signed?
Part of me thinks is they know this is a retool, unless this goes way off course, like what we'll talk about. Like we're talking very high lottery picks.
Yeah,
I don't, and it feels like the and I guess that that's a caveat. If it goes off the rails and this team is like looking like they're competing every night, and it's just they just don't have the talent, or something's right. just not if something's just not clicking, then I think they bring them back. If this team is just not playing for the coach, like we've seen teams not play for
the coach. We've seen teams quit on their coach.
Yeah. We've seen teams quit on Hitchcock, Yo, Payne in the past. So yes. if something like that yes, happens, I can see that I can see them changing gears. They decided to get rid of Mike Van Rijn and Craig McTavish, which Van Rijn, I think it was needed due to he's just been back there for a long time, and the defense obviously has just kind of regressed since 2019.
Was poop.
Maybe 20, you can even say.
Yes.
So Van Rijn's gone, but they bring in Mike Weber, former NHLer, did have a real quick cup of coffee with the Blues, a PTO before the end of his career. But did never really played a regular season, you know, a preseason game. But and then they also bring in Michael Babcock. That is the son of my former, now former Columbus Blue Jacket coach, Mike Babcock, to take over those two roles. And so far, the players have seemed that they like what Mike Weber is trying to do. So we've kind of seen some preseason stuff, but you've probably seen the closest resemblance of what the defense is going to look like during the regular season, and you said you thought it looked pretty good.
It looked at the better.
Dallas game looked it, better.
It looked better. There were still a lot of times where I felt like they weren't clearing defensemen out of in front of Bennington. There were a few rebounds in that game that if Dallas had all of their players in the lineup, it would have been a much closer game because Bennington gave up some beefy rebounds that just laid in front of the goal for a while. I will say, as much as I ride Colton Parayko's ass, I watched him push a couple people out of the slot. I watched him hit a couple people in the corner and finally start to use that body of his. You know, one of the biggest gripes Blues fans have had the last few years about him is that he is a gigantic man who plays very small. He still had times where I was like, oh, Colton Parayko's in midseason form, can't hold the puck in the zone and let a guy get by him and whatever. But I did see him really staple a few guys to the boards, and I haven't seen Colton Parayko do that in I can't tell you how long.
Yeah.
I thought Letty played great. I thought Falk played great. I thought Krug played good. Every time he's out there, I'm afraid he's going to get injured again.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that the defense overall played better. You can tell that this system that they're in now suits them much better than the system that they were trying to play last year.
That's definitely a good thing. So,
yes. Yes, yeah. It is.
So notes on that I wanted to bring up, that this team last year – there's no changes in the defensive unit this year. You're basically giving two guys a little bit more time. You're basically giving Tyler Tucker and Scott Perunovic, if he stays healthy, more time.
Yes.
So last year, the Blues allowed the most goals they have since the 83-84 season.
Boy, they allowed a lot, too.
So they're allowed to be exact, Chris. They allowed 298 goals.
Oh.
So a lot. So and the thing is, you didn't really change anything on your defense. So you're basically hoping the scheme makes it better. Yes. So you're hoping the scheme is better. Obviously, Krug is still here after vetoing the deal to Philadelphia last year. He really didn't want to talk about it. He wants to move on. He gets the maybe he plays with the chip on his shoulder, and that's the other thing you're kind of hoping for.
I drafted him this year for that reason.
Yeah. So I'm kind of interested to see how he rebounds. The Blues have like a Blues. You know, lineup, which I'm going to talk about, was pretty much as predicted. They just reassigned the last four players from the roster. So they got rid of, not rid of, but Mackenzie McEachran, Nathan Walker, Callie Rosen, and Malcolm Subban all cleared waivers and got reassigned to the AHL. On top of that,
let me ask you a question, Jason.
Okay, go ahead.
Back to Krug just for a second. If this season starts to go south real quick, and it could, I have, we'll get into it when we talk about our actual predictions. But if this season starts to go bad in a hurry, do you think at some point Krug says, just get me the hell out of here? I don't want to go through this.
I think that could be in numerous players, honestly. I could easily see someone like Justin Falk, honestly. Parayko, as much as people give him crap, and I give the guy less crap, and I understand why people do, but for someone who, like, we've talked about this before, when somebody comes into St. Louis and they really adapt themselves to the city and they actually love the city, one of the reasons why I really love they brought Sundquist back, because that man was like, loves it here in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Same with David Perron. I think that was another thing who personally I like really liked. And Parayko really likes here. You see the dude like constantly doing stuff in around St. Louis, or people taking pictures with him like at random stores and stuff, saying, look who I ran into today. So the man lives here full time.
Yep.
But I could see players that want to get a taste of a championship. Justin Falk didn't get a chance. He came the year after we won the cup. Torrey Krug on the verge of winning a cup, obviously, might want out. I don't know if Kevin Hayes will do it right away, but I could see Hayes in a season or two if it keeps going south.
Yeah.
Especially a team like Boston, where his brother played for, and he is from, I could easily see Boston, who needs centers, wanting to go up there. So
the reason I mentioned Krug specifically is because you now have a player who knows that the team was ready to move on from him in the offseason. And you can say all you want that I move on, I just want to play hockey, I signed my deal here, I want to stay here. And that's great. And I'm glad he does. I think that's fantastic. There was a rumor for the longest time that he was wanting out because his wife hated it here. Maybe that's not true. But if you're Torrey Krug and you know that the team tried to move you and you see that these changes that have been made aren't having the effect that you would like to, I think if I'm that player, I go to Doug Armstrong and go, okay, you can move me. Here's my list of teams I'll go to. Go get it done.
I highly wouldn't doubt it. We'll talk about that when we get to our predictions. But I think that is a scenario that, as much as I had a conversation with friends today, I think is more likely than them doing well. But we'll talk about that. So here is your Blues, St. Louis Blues lineup for this season, how it's going to look like. Yeah, Buchnevitz, Thomas, Kyrou on the front line. Second line, Saad, Shen, Kapanen. Third line, Verana, Hayes, Blaze. Somebody point out today that kind of sounds like a cousin of Willie Mays Hayes.
It does. It also sounds like a strain of weed.
Yeah.
You got that Verana Blaze Hayes.
And yeah, it's next to the fourth Whitaker's eye.
Yes. one aisle over from Purple Wookie.
Then you got Neighbors, Sundquist, and Torpachenko on the fourth line, which will be an interesting line to watch this year. Sundquist and Torpachenko will be the top pairing penalty killers this year. Thomas wasn't on any of the penalty kills this year, which I thought was very interesting.
That they're really going to focus Thomas on being an offensive player. I really do.
And he can play two ways. There's nothing wrong with being two ways, but I think having the power play, that I think he got worn down at times. And I think one thing off his plate, unless somebody gets hurt, I can see him filling in. But
yeah,
I think for now, having it off the plate might be a good idea.
I think they're worried that he'll try to block a puck and,
which has happened, and he's gotten hurt,
mess up an ankle or something, which is a very real possibility when you're on the PK. Yeah, man, I trust them to put people in the right positions. So we'll see how this works out. For the most part, I think that all of this is pretty much what we expected, aside from, like you said, Thomas not being on any sort of a penalty kill. But at the same time, you know, I think that this team is going to have to find its identity. I don't, you know, there's been enough change over the past year. You talk about O'Reilly being gone, Tarasenko being gone, things of that nature, that I think this team needs to figure out who they are again.
Yeah, because you got a mix of different guys to play heavy, kind of like play, like your fourth line, I think is going to be like the one I'm really keen on, because I think that was one thing last year that it was always guys that really, and this is, sounds really awful, but I like the guy, but Nathan Walker to me isn't like an 82 game guy.
I agree.
He's a very good, he fill in for a few games and he gives that spark, and then you just don't hear from him for a while.
Yeah.
Hence the reason why he got reassigned. I saw some people like, he's a little guy with gumption, why are you reassigning him? I'm like, because someone beat him out for his job. Pretty plain and simple is that, you know, like,
yep.
Same thing with Callie Rosen, where people would give a crap about Rosen. He was the best defenseman last year. Why are you sending him back down? I'm like, well, that was last year. And yeah. I agree, he should have gotten more time last year. But at the same time, if he didn't show the coaching staff a reason to keep him here over Scandella, Tucker, whoever, like, you, they wouldn't lose Tucker, but they would send Scandella down. Screw it. Look, send him down.
And that
still,
is,
he gets still stuck with the salary, but whatever.
There is a phrase, and I think it holds true for sports as well as the music industry. It ain't show friends, it's show business. When you're a professional athlete, you're in a very results-driven field. And, you know, you made the comment about, you know, Parayko, and it's a guy who wants to be here, and he loves St. Louis and all that. And I love that, and that's great. And he's happy to live here as long as he wants. But you're getting paid a lot of money
to play hockey. Oh, I get it.
Play hockey.
Like, trust me, that's on there too. Like I said, there's always that little like soft spot where people like give him crap. Like you want, sometimes like there's blatant giveaways on there, and it's like I want to defend the guy, but it's like, man, you can't defend when you're let a guy walk around you or you turn the puck over, stuff like that. Where,
and I think that holds true for the people like Nathan Walker and the others that we just said. I'm not comparing the two players. I'm just saying when you're putting the team together. And your job is Doug Armstrong or whoever it is in the front office of the Blues or Chief is to put the best team out there. You know, I mean, hell, Jason, I can't speak for you. I can speak for me as a former athlete. I was a starter my sophomore year in high school on by the end of the season on varsity. I got benched my senior year for a couple of games because I wasn't getting it done. Not benched, but pulled out of the starting five. You know, it is what it is. And, you know, we can like Nathan Walker as much as we want, but if he's being outplayed by somebody else on this team, that spot has to go to whoever is going to do the best for the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah.
Period. End of sentence.
Yeah, and that's a team game. It's not a one-person game. So, and the extra forward this year is going to be Nikita Alexandrov. So someone who's been...
Boy, I like him.
He's been working hard in the minors. He got the goal to start the game off the other night. So it was good to see him make the team. A guy who's a former second-round pick finally is stuck with the team, not just a call-up. So that's cool that you... And also a younger player, too. Like, nothing against Walker, but he's in his 30s. But now you're getting Alexandrov in there, so a little bit younger, different blood. So, and I think that's another thing that's good too.
He was moving around the ice when I saw them in Dallas. Like, he was everywhere. Anywhere also, the puck was, he was there.
Also, another center. So, a guy who plays center or wing. So, that's also another good thing to have. So, move on to the defense. Like I said, no changes. Parayko, Letty, Falk, Krug, Tucker, Scandella is going to be your starting six, and then you'll cycle in Perunovic and Bortuzzo.
This is where I think the Blues need to have their biggest concern, because
and obviously they tried to do something about it this year, but they couldn't do anything. So,
were you, not to jump the gun a little bit, but it will come back to us talking about defense. I read in a few different areas this year, and I heard on radio and all that, a lot of people say that they felt the biggest question mark for this team was goaltending, and specifically if Jordan Binnington is the real deal, that they felt that he had an off year last year. me, as someone who watched this team play almost every game, I thought Jordan Binnington was one of the best players, if not the best player on the St. Louis Blues last year. He, a lot of times, was the only reason why the scores of these games weren't like 8-1 or 9-1.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the stats, sure, the stats were down, but I don't think those stats for him were down for any reason above and beyond. His defense hung him out to dry every game for at least one or two backdoor goals.
Yeah, I did see that the ESPN article, the Wyshynski talking about like what predictions for teams, and they had a little snippet for every team. And the Blues was basically saying, yeah, I don't like them trotting out the same defense again. And even though all the Blues fans will come at me and say, Binnington's numbers are down, and I can have proof that they're down, but he passes the eye test, and I don't see that happening. So, once again, I get it. When you have to do a quick analysis on people, you have to look at numbers. That's the easy way to do it in this game. It's hard. You can't watch 32 teams, every player for more than a shift or two to try to get things, to write things down. I get it. I think Binnington was better than what people thought last year. Is there room for improvement?
Sure, 100%. There is.
100%. His numbers are down ever since the Stanley Cup year. That's a proven fact. Even when the team was very good, his numbers were slightly down. But when you're playing, unfortunately, this is not a visual podcast, and Chris is looking at me. I'm saying when you're playing way up here, as in like above your head, basically, you're playing top of the game, and you can coincide it with the defense getting bad. He's been bad. So is he a product of defense? I don't think it's as bad as you could say. And I know a couple of people would get on me about this too, like Brian Elliott or Jake Allen. Like, those guys had a lot of shutouts and were kings of this town, this team, for the way they played or goals. Did it make a lot of saves? Yeah. But were they getting 14 or 15 shots a game sometimes?
Right.
Because the defense was so good. It's not the Ken Hitchcock level good, like what Binnington had, but it was good. So I think if the defense improves, I think it gives him confidence, as with any goalie, I think, too. Your defense plays better and playing well in front of you, you're going to play well. I think Binnington's a competitor. He had another nice article about him, which we talked about last podcast, talking about he's a new man. He got married. He turned 30. So we'll see. I am really looking forward to seeing what Binnington can do. That comes into our questions section, which we'll get to in a second here.
Do you think a lot of the backlash on Binnington has to do with his antics, 100%. like throwing the bottle? Yeah, I think so 100%. Too. I think him trying to get into fights, his temper, things like that, makes him a very polarizing figure. I got into a discussion with the guy sitting behind me at the Stars and Blues game, who was the Stars season ticket holder, and he's like, "Man, I hate the Blues." And I just kind of laughed. I'm like, "Yeah, I get it." And then he stopped for a second. He's like, "Let me rephrase that." He's like, "I don't hate your team." He's like, "I hate your goalie." And I just laughed, and I was like, "Yeah, I get it." I said, "You either love him or you hate him." I said, "And let me guess, you don't hate him because of his goaltending. You hate him because of all the other stuff." And he's like, "Yeah, he just seems like an a-hole." And I was like, "I get it.
Yeah.
I personally have no problems with it. I would much rather have a goalie like Jordan Binnington, who is going to fight for his ability to do his job well and not take crap from people running into him or doing things that he perceives to be below the belt, or, you know, not above bar when it comes to the rules. I'd rather have someone like that than someone who's passive and just takes it. But with that comes the backlash of, "Oh, just shut up and do your job." You know what I mean?
You can say it without anybody. You can say it with anybody on the ice, sure. Technically. I mean,
he reminds me of Patrick Waugh.
Yeah, I mean, Waugh did,
he was a notorious hothead.
And what did he do the last game of his career in Montreal? Yeah. He got Bronx cheered after he made a save, and he basically let the crowd have it, and then got pulled, and then was yelling at the crowd on the way out, and then he literally went to the GM and said, basically, a slap shot reference, "Trade me right effing now." And he was in Colorado a couple weeks later.
Yep.
So
winning
a couple
cups.
Days later. So, yeah. So, I mean, everything is acceptable to a certain degree. I think if you think about what Binnington did now compared to if he did it when Waugh was there and flipped the two, people would absolutely hate Patrick Waugh now.
Oh, like, for sure.
Absolutely hate, because of just the amount of coverage and how fast things get out. I mean, I mean, look at us. Like, we were at that game when when him and Fleury almost fought.
Yeah.
And I luckily had my camera up and I videoed it. And of course, I posted it right away. Think about that happening. We, in the 90s and 80s and 90s, we wouldn't see that highlight until we either watched it when ESPN was around, SportsCenter, or the local news at 10:30 at night.
I was at the Curtis Joseph Tim Chevalier fight game back in the early 90s. And that was a game that I was telling my friends about it when I got home that afternoon, but no one saw it until that night when when Channel 5 had highlights of it. And then the front page of the Post the next day. You're right. This is in many regards, not just sports, but every facet of life. Anybody, and again, we're not a visual podcast, but anyone who has, as I hold up my smartphone, anybody who has a cell phone, a smartphone, is a mobile news center. Mm-hmm. You can take video of news and upload it to social media in minutes. So you're right. The coverage that Wall would have of his antics in today's day and age would be just as bad as what Jordan Bennington does.
Yeah. So it's interesting to see that comparison. I think that's a worthwhile comparison. We're going to talk about skill level if anybody wants to get into that conversation.
No, I'm not comparing.
We're talking about how the perception of that player is what the antics, like you said. So I'm interested to see how he rebounds. He was a 500 goalie last year. He finished 27-27-6, goals above three, save percentage below 90. That's 80s type style goaltending there, which is not going to hold up nowadays. You need to get that below a three. You need to get that above a 90. And then I think if you do like this year and we see a little bit of a climb, I'm not expecting a huge climb in the goaltending, but if we get those two little things, getting the low, you know, maybe the high twos, like 2.8, I'd be happy with.
Right.
Something in the 90s, I'd be happy. So also save percentage to me is more indicative than your goals against. If your save percentage is in the 90s and you have a three goals against, that means you're getting a crap ton of shots.
Yes.
Which is highly possible.
Yes.
So if his save percentage is in the 90s, I'll be very happy. And let's see how he does this year. I am, once again, well, this year, people are going to be coming after him too. It's not like they're going to be trying to press his buttons all year.
And
you even more so than they did before. So hopefully this leads to a couple of our questions we got from our viewers. So I'll do the questions and then we'll wrap it up with kind of, I think, all the question marks for the year, and then our predictions. We'll go from there.
Sure.
Lastly, before we do into that, the goaltending, virtually the same. You have Jordan Bennington, who we just talked about, and Joel Hofer will officially be the backup, like we've discussed many a time, signing to the new two-year, one-way deal, and I think he's well-earned it.
I agree.
AHL All-Star, second team AHL last year. Almost was this close to winning the cup down there. Mm-hmm. In the AHL 2 years ago. So doing very good. I think also the Blues have some solid goaltending on the AHL. I think the Zdorenko looked really good in the preseason.
Believe it or not, look really good.
Oh, believe it or not, we were wrong there. That was Colton Ellis who was in goal. That was not Malcolm Subban.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Yep. So Malcolm Subban actually had a really good preseason, believe it or not. Colton Ellis, a guy I really thought was going to pan out and be a solid goaltender coming up, is not putting it together. And I think that's a guy that is going to just find his way, not sign next year. He's back in ECHL now. He didn't even make the AHL. So,
wow.
Yeah. So I'm not seeing the good things from him. So all his records set in OHL is one thing, but when you get even the next step up, he's having trouble. So if you can't go from the OHL to even the ECHL, that's hard. They're hard to think you're going to make it to NHL. It's possible. Jordan Bennington did it, but not everybody can do that.
That's an exception to the rule.
Yes. Like I said, 2019, to many people, that's a one-in-a-lifetime thing. That's never going to happen.
Yes, it is. Yes,
so
it is.
Don't bank on that ever happening again. So on to our questions from the people. So I had a couple. I reached out today on the social medias and asked people if they would like to ask any questions for the upcoming year, just to see like what they think may be happening and whatnot. So I had a couple coming through on Facebook and Twitter, so I'll read those real quick. So thank you for submitting your questions. So this kind of talked about what we had earlier, Chris. So we'll kind of jump in here and just go for it. So this is from Steve, who put this on Facebook. I want to mess up your last name, Steve. So it's Ploudre. We'll go Ploudre. Nailed it. How high of a lottery pick will they have in next year's draft? And will they trade Ronan Kapanen at the deadline? All right, who will they trade the Ronan Kapanen at the deadline? I don't know. That's a loaded question there. I don't know who or that will happen to. That could go anyway. Teams might surprise and want to get some scoring in. Some players, some teams might need scoring due to injuries. That's something. Let's go with this, Chris. I'll ask you this, and I'll kind of change Steve's question slightly before you answer the first part of it. Will Ronan Kapanen be St. Louis Blues after the trade deadline this year?
I think that largely depends on how this team does prior to the trade deadline. I think if this team starts to tank, that they could very easily be trade bait. I think my gut tells me that they will be St. Louis Blues.
Okay. And I am going to go the opposite way. And I, because of how everything is going to go, I think Verana will not be a Blue. Kapanen, I think, will be a Blue due to, I think, our friend Rick has pointed out many times, when we went to the game, Kasperi Kapanen scored a hat trick in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
That was the last time he scored until he got to the St. Louis Blues later in January, almost 2 months. So I think he's so streaky. I don't know if the people want to take on a $3 million player at the deadline for possible scoring. Who knows? They could, but if the Blues eat something there, but I'll go with no if you had to put a gun to my head. I will say Verana will not be a Blue, and Kapanen will be a Blue. And Verana, and I think the reason is, he's going to price himself out of St. Louis because I think he is actually going to have a pretty decent year. And I think he's going to look to cash in the offseason, and I think the Blues have a lot of money tied up, so it's going to be hard for them to pay a guy like that when you have a lot of prospects like Bolduc, Dean, who are knocking on the door, who just had a pretty decent preseason. So I think it's going to be hard for him.
That's a good analysis.
So I think that's going to be hard there. So last, but his second part of Steve's question was, how high of a lottery pick will the Blues have? He's already basically saying the Blues will not definitely make the playoffs, is what Steve's saying. So the Blues got the 10th overall. As bad as the Blues were last year, they got the 10th overall pick. So that gives you an idea of if you thought the Blues were bad last year.
Right.
And the only person who moved up was Chicago from 3-1. So they still would have had the 10th pick no matter what. Mm-hmm. So in your opinion, do they have a lottery pick next year? Meaning, will they not make the playoffs? I'll do that for you. And then I have a little more of a definitive answer, but you can go ahead.
Yeah, I think they will. I think they're going to have a lottery pick.
Yeah. So how high? I don't know. Here's my bold prediction, and I'll do it early since we still have some ways to go, but I will reiterate it at the end. My bold prediction is that the Blues will have a top five pick in the
Oof. Top five pick because they move up in the lottery, or top five pick because they're that bad?
They're that bad.
Okay.
I just see them not doing well. I know the big thing on Twitter before later this afternoon was the Dominic, whatever his name, from The Athletic, who does all the fancy stats and his model and everything on how the Blues will do. Chris, had the Chicago Blackhawks finishing 1 point above the St. Louis Blues, and the Blues finishing in the basement.
Wow. Okay.
70 points bold. To 71. So that's a little bold, I thought. But if I looked at the quick what he did for all the teams, he had the Blues finishing number five in the thing. So my prediction, almost as crazy as Dom. So I thought Chicago would be lower than that, but lower than us, because they really don't have anybody on the team besides Bedard and maybe Taylor Hall. But Seth Jones. I forgot, excuse me, on that one. So, but I really think the Blues will have a top five pick. I just don't see it happening. I just think there's so many things that got to go right for them to make the playoffs, compared to if a couple of things go wrong, it goes south quicker. That's the way I kind of look at it. If a lot of things go right to make the playoffs, great. I really hope that does happen. I really do. Like, I don't want to be negative Nancy and stuff, but due to how I am and due to my job is and stuff, I look at numbers and stuff, and I have no fancy model like Dom, but I just kind of look and see, like, when you don't make changes on stuff, what's that called? It's kind of insanity. Like, you didn't change the defense. It's the
definition of insanity.
I don't know what to tell you. So thanks, Steve, for that question. And we'll get, I ripped the Band-Aid off real early there for the, my big bold prediction. But I just don't see it, guys. Sorry to say. So let me head over to the Twitters here and see some of the questions we have here. So fantasy team. Chris, your fantasy team is still at 55% as of right now. Good for you. Oh, bit of news that just came out, which is a downer news before I get into this next set of questions. Barry Melrose is stepping down from ESPN. He's been diagnosed with Parkinson's. So with someone who him, Gary Thorne, and Doc Emmerich, that is, and then like national game wise, that was like what our childhoods was like. ESPN, you tuned in, those are the guys you heard. Yeah. Or you turned on and saw like Gary, you know, Barry Melrose with the mullet when he was talking and stuff. And yeah, nobody really liked that, but him at times, especially Blues fans, they always thought he was really hard on the Blues. Like, right. Especially during the Boston series, like Barry was like, he thought he picked Boston every time and the Blues would always win.
Right.
So that's interesting. So I feel bad, Barry Melrose. I hope everything's okay. John Buchergross put that out there today. So, hopefully he can fight this off and do well as long as he can. I know that's a disease that's no cure right now. So hopefully everything turns out okay for him. So he's able to at least maybe come back for like, you know, a proper send off.
Right. He's definitely earned it. He is a polarizing character in the world of hockey. I personally always enjoyed him. He definitely was never kind to the Blues. He always found something wrong with the Blues game, but you know what? That's fine, man. As someone who has a relative who's fighting Parkinson's and sees the effect that it has on people, it is a terrible, terrible disease. And I wish him the best. And I hope that he takes the steps necessary to prolong his quality of life as long as he can with his family.
Yeah. So I got two questions, and then I'll kind of do our questions about the team. And then we're going to wrap up with our predictions. So, first off, from D Haas, and will the D move guys from front of the net? We'll say phrasing to start that, D Haas. Yes, but I get your point. Chris kind of alluded to Colton Parayko doing a little bit of work in front of the net before. You got Scandella and Tucker back there in the third pairing now, and Bortuzzo is your extra. So there's potential there, but I guess it depends on scheme. I don't know until I see them. I would say there will be a small step forward in that.
Yeah,
department.
I don't know how much better it's going to be. It certainly couldn't be much worse than last year. I think that what I saw, again, one preseason game, the defense seemed to be more in the face and more aggressive when it comes to clearing in front of the net. But again, it's preseason. We'll see. You know, when the rubber hits the ice, no pun intended, it's a whole new ball game. So, yeah, the short answer, yeah, they will, because they sure couldn't last do worse than they did last year.
And I think
how much better? I don't know.
Yeah, I think a small step forward. I think just due to the personnel you're throwing out there, Scandella, if he's healthy, maybe he'll move some guys around. I don't know. Yeah. Tucker is definitely that guy, so I can see that happening. And when Bortuzzo is in there,
for sure,
we can see that. So let's hope so. But I think we'll see a small step forward. I think Weber was known as a rougher defenseman, so I think you'll see. Usually, whatever kind of way a coach is, it's supposed to rub off on the team. Obviously, with Rube, it didn't happen last year, but obviously, the 19, 20, 21 team that did. So let's see if the personnel works out, and we'll go from there. And lastly, we have Brian Roberts on Twitter. So first off, we kind of talked about this already. We had how hot is the coach's seat? And I said, if it looks like the team quits on him, I think he's out even before the season's over. If the team when you just don't have the skill and you're just getting out and manned by teams, that's one thing.
That's different. Right.
I think he would hold on to his job and they give him a little bit more leeway. Cause I think he's worked with younger players before, especially in the Chicago Wolves system. He worked with Barbashev and stuff like that. So
sure.
I think it's definitely, I think we talked about it already, but I think Berube is okay unless the team quits on him. But
I don't see them making a change in the middle of the season unless
It is a dumpster fire.
If this team starts off hot and then starts to nosedive, and there's a chance that this team can make a change and salvage a playoff berth, then they'll make a change.
Mm-hmm.
If this team is just hot garbage, and or this team quits on Berube, I think Berube finishes out his contract and just doesn't come back.
Yeah.
I don't think that they blow him out just to blow him out if the season is lost. I think they start using that time to scout who else is going to be available for next season, and they just thank him for his time at the end of the season, and they go their separate ways.
Yeah, because I think Berube will be – I don't think he'll be out of a job that long.
No, he'll get another job.
He'll get a job.
He'll get another job very easily in the NHL. I mean, he's what, five seasons removed from winning the Stanley Cup, and up until last season, this team was very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Berube will get another job in the NHL if he doesn't come back.
I think he's runner-up for coach of the year one time. So, yes, I think he's definitely got a chance.
Yeah.
And so the other question that we had on there was, and it's very interesting, does Jordan Binnington remain the starter the whole year? That is an interesting question.
Over Joel Hofer? Or are they playing the Blues making a change?
I think it's over. I think the way Hofer played and the way that the organization has talked up Hofer, I think they're talking, because I've seen some articles talking about the like rookie class, and he's been in there, Hofer, that is, as a dark horse Calder candidate.
I don't see Joel Hofer taking over for Jordan Binnington this season. Now, if we get into a situation where 20 games into the season, the Blues are like 5-15, maybe, especially if Binnington is looking terrible and is up to his old antics again, perhaps. I don't see it happening. I mean, I think that obviously there's an avenue for anything to be a possibility, but I just don't think, because to be honest, again, to repeat what we said earlier, I don't think Jordan Binnington was the problem last season. I think Jordan Binnington was one of the few bright spots on this team last year.
Yeah, I think Binnington will be the starter, but I see him getting less games than last year. He had 60, almost over 60 games last year.
That's totally fine. I think Joel Hofer is a massive upgrade over Thomas Greiss, and I think that you have the ability to let Hofer take some of the workload.
And not a Nazi. So
not a Nazi, also a bonus.
So you got the bonus there. So that allegedly. So I think that you're right on that one. I think Hofer, I think it's going to be like a, let's say, it could turn into a 1A, 1B thing, which I'm going to be okay with. In the past, that's worked well. But I think as long as Hofer is pushing Binnington, I think Binnington will play better. So
I was just going to say that. I think we saw with, you know, having Jake Allen in the mix, that Binnington works better when he's being pushed to be better. That being said, I also think that part of the problem last year was that we had a guy who was a stopgap until Hofer was ready. And Hofer has the ability to give Binnington more of a breather when he needs it.
Yeah, so I think that'll be good. So I put some questions together, Chris, and then you can just do a quick, we're doing rapid fire, and you just give me a quick answer real quick before we wrap up, and then we'll do our final prediction. So this is stuff I kind of thought about today is I am selling low on this team just because I just think there's too many things that have to go right for them to be a wild card team.
I agree.
So here's what I had. So I had, you need Krug rebounding and staying healthy along with Scott Perunovich.
Yes.
I think that's definitely a thing. If that goes right.
100%.
That goes right. That's trends of the team towards the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think leadership is still, I think, an issue. And I'm not saying Braden. I said outside of Braden Schenn, you're looking at 55, 72, and 18.
Yeah.
Think about it. 55, 70, and they just lead differently. That's 100% fine. I think Thomas is finding his way, so I'm not really throwing him under the bus. But
yeah, I think
55.
I think Falk and Schenn are your guys.
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious to see what that's like. So if that leadership doesn't really come forward this year, what are we looking at? Right. You know, that's kind of interesting too. So we talked about the Bennington. My thing was Bennington, will he rebound this year? I think you'll see him. I think if you can get him above that 90 save percentage, that's definitely a good thing.
Yes.
Will you have depth scoring this year? I think the first line looks great. I think the Buchnevitz is always, we already mentioned him this whole podcast, because like that's what really we he's, if you think about it, probably our best player overall. I mean, you can say the Kyrou and Thomas.
He's our best all-around player, for sure.
By a long shot. I think Buchnevitz is the guy, signed for this season and next at a very reasonable $5.8 million. Yep. I can see him getting the Thomas contract after this.
Yeah.
If he wants to stay here. If he's looking to be right. competitive and the team isn't trending up, I could easily see them, if he says he's not going to stick around, that's an interesting conversation for next year's podcast.
Agreed.
But we'll see. So Buchnevitz, I think, and that first line is great, but the depth scoring after that, will Brandon Saad, you know, be, he's consistent, you know, but yeah. like.
I think your depth scoring is going to come from Jakub Vrána.
So I think Vrána being on third line is interesting. I could see him working into the second line and Saad yep. moving back eventually. I think Vrána, I'm expecting him to have just as good year, because that guy was very good for great. Washington and early Detroit before he had his issues. And it seemed like he was overcoming those and doing well last year. So I'm really interested. Yes. And he looked good in a couple of the preseason games that I watched that were on TV. So I'm interested to see how he plays this year. So he's another question along with the depth scoring. Will he turn out to be, you know, a factor this year? So I said, can Parayko and Falk rebound? How will Tucker do in full-time duty? And is Scandella healthy and ready to play? All those and wrapped into one little neat little thing. We kind of talked about all this stuff already, but I just mm-hmm. wanted to bring it up again. If all that answers are Scandella rebounds and plays close to how he was when the Blues first acquired him, Tucker, yeah. I don't want Tucker to be like this like all-star player. Where he can, if he can come in there, be a tough, gritty, block shots, third-line guy, who yep. can do the penalty kill, great. Yep. That's all I want.
Agreed.
And if Parayko and Falk can get back to where he was 2 years ago, where he had a very good season.
Yeah.
And if Parayko can come close to kind of what he was with Jay Bouwmeester, kind of a shutdown guy, I'm fine with that.
I would like to see Parayko go back to being more the Jay Bouwmeester instead of trying to be Alex Pietrangelo.
I'm fine with a shutdown guy. And
yeah. I just feel like whenever Parayko tries to lead the breakout or throw a very long lead pass to someone, it's 50-50 on if it's going to get to a guy in the right color jersey.
Or not cleared over the glass. That was the other thing, too. He likes to clear off the glass.
Boy, does he.
And he misses
so many delay of games and so many turnovers in his own zone.
So if
I'm willing to give the guy a chance, you know what I mean? Like he looked better when I saw him last week. So let's see what happens.
So yeah, if all those things happen, great. They can trend towards the playoffs.
Yeah.
I kind of said the same with Cap. We talked about Captain before. I kind of said the same thing. If he can kind of play like he did last year and be consistent in that and not just disappear for long stretches, I think that'd be good.
Yeah.
And I said, can the PK and the power play, get back to be in a respectable part of the NHL? Right now they're in the lower fourth last year, and I think that's obviously one of the reasons why the team is really bad, when you're not scoring on the power play and then giving up power play goals. It's really hard to win games.
It is. I'm much more concerned with the power play. It seemed like last year the power play had reverted back to its let's just make a million passes and never really put a shot on
that. Perfect, like the perfect pass. And that was my thing. It was always like the perfect, like, okay, we can easily get, this is like an easy goal pass. And I'm like, no, just get some shots for God's sakes.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. So,
and I think that is, and that is the last one I had written down. And the Blues have a tough challenge with the division they're in too. So we're going to get into predictions. Sure. So, we didn't do any of our usual predictions, but our usual breakdowns for every division and stuff like that. But I thought it was good to just do the Blues, definitely, for sure. And why, I guess the NHL had an update, so my NHL app is officially being stupid. So
yeah, mine.
So I tried to pull us up. So I have to pull mine up again. So I was trying to pull everything up for the Blues standings and schedule. So standings, so all the teams that are in the Blues division. So luckily, the Predators played a game and lost already. So Predators, Stars, Wild, Coyotes, Avalanche, Jets, Blues, and Blackhawks. The Jets had some interesting news today, and they re-signed Scheifele and Hellebuyck, which that was an interesting move to competing similar 7-year deals. So both players are in their turning 30 or 31 this year. So those guys are locked in for a long time. And along with trading Pierre-Luc Dubois this offseason, they got some different players there, along with Connor and Ehlers. Morrissey came off a good year. Some people are always down on Winnipeg, and I'm like, man, they have a lot of – I just named all those guys, and that's pretty decent lineup right there, in my opinion. Obviously, the kings of the division are going to be the Avalanche and Stars, plain and simple. You would think that happens. Obviously, the Avalanche are missing their captain this year. Gabriel Landeskog is out this year with a knee injury. Maybe if they go deep in the playoffs, maybe you'll see something, but I don't think we'll see anything this year from him. After that, it's kind of like the mix of like teams that may be good, and you have that as the Wild, Predators, Jets, and Coyotes. And I guess you can throw us in there if you'd like as well. Out of those teams, Chris, do you see the Blues? I think the Blues can maybe compete with the Predators there. I know
that's always... the team. That's the one team in the division that I think if the Blues are going to squeak in, it's because they're going to edge out the Nashville Predators. I think that your top three teams in any order are going to be Dallas, Colorado, Minnesota. And then I think you're looking at three teams fighting for a wild card spot. Well, probably four teams fighting for a wild card spot. And that's Winnipeg, Nashville, Arizona, and St. Louis. Call me optimistic that I think that the Blues could grab one of those wild card spots. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm interested in to see what they can do there. I think of the teams you mentioned, I confirm your top three teams. I think that's pretty much what I had. The Jets, I think, are better than people think, and I see them grabbing that wild card spot. That was just my prediction. And after that,
do you think both wild cards come out of the Central, or do you think it's one in the Central, one in the Pacific?
One in the Central, one in the Pacific. Okay. I think the Pacific is pretty just as stacked this year, and depending on how the Central goes, it might come down to points on that last couple of games where it might be two from the Pacific. I wouldn't be shocked, honestly. I think the Blues are in line with, this is going to sound bad, but I think the Blues are in line with the Coyotes this year. I think the Coyotes,
yeah, that's fair.
The Coyotes are trending up. They have a very, as much as Bedard is getting a ton of the press about the being the hotshot rookie, Logan Cooley is, I think, a very good player as well. He decided to come sign with the team, did not go back to college like originally thought. So I don't know what changed his mind, probably money. But yeah, so I think they have a lot of players that, and their goaltending is surprisingly decent, which I was shocked by. It's their defense that's going to be their downfall, if anything, but they're building decently stacked prospect pool down there with all the draft picks they finally had. So,
right.
They could surprise, and I'm not saying a wild, I'm definitely not saying they're a wild card team, but I think they'll be better. They won't be a basement team this year.
Right.
The Predators could go, they're like the Blues. If they got a lot of things go right, I think they could definitely make a wild card.
Yeah.
I think Chicago's not going to be good. It's plain and simple. Sorry.
No, I don't think they will either. I think that, I think Bedard's going to get points because I think the entire offense flows through him. Yeah. And he very well could win the Calder Trophy. I don't think the team is going to be that much better.
Yeah. So we'll just do a little capper on this, Chris. So, the Blues, your final prediction, will the Blues grab a playoff spot?
No.
And where would you think they finish in the division?
I'm going to say fifth.
Okay. I have them as sixth. I have a second. That was at sixth. If I count my numbers right there. That's a 1, 2, 3, 4. That's actually, I had them almost like they have it on there. I have them as 7, actually.
All right.
I think the Coyotes are going to finish in front of them this year, or just slightly in front of them. Like I said, I'm sticking with my, I'm very not optimistic, top 5 pick. It sucks, but I would look at, here's my, the way I look at it, just for Blues fans, think I'm not being like a complete downer and whatever, and we'll wrap it up here. This organization has been really good for a decade.
Yeah.
Like really good. As much as how many times we've had teams that are like, this is the team. This is the year, Chris. This is the year we're going to win it. Or, you know, whatever. Like, or the media just like really likes our team that year. And, or EA Sports simulates the season, the Blues win it. I think that came from my timeline this week where they simulated, I think, the 2017 year, and we won the cup that year on EA Sports or whatever. Like, you see all those preseason stuff. It's fun to be in that, and I look forward to the Blues being back in that. I'd rather have them be back in that than just be in mediocrity.
Yeah.
If you can go, if there's anybody listening to this podcast that's old enough, like Chris and I, the 90s were really like that. The early 90s to late, almost late 90s before they, you know, got mid 90s, let's say, like late 80s, early 90s. They had okay teams, but never were teams that were going to like go far. Everything was built around Brett Hall, and that was it. They really never had the goaltending. They had Curtis Joseph, but then we talked about Joseph in the past. Like, playoffs came around, and he didn't do that well. And the Blues never really had a goaltender after that. And they went out and got fewer and stuff, and obviously things happened. But, yeah, I just think I'd rather have the team built, get some young, exciting talent in here, build it up from the bottom again. Then maybe you'll make a trade or two and get some top guys. Maybe some of the guys that you have on the team or work out. And then you finally start getting the national pub again. You start getting people excited about the team again, and you're getting those Winter Classic games. You're going far in the playoffs. You're the preseason pick. You're the dark. Like, for how many years were we the dark horse pick to win the cup?
Sure.
I'm excited about those years.
Right.
Like, let's get back to those. Let's not just like, well, we're going to get into the wild card, and like, what's going to happen then if we get into wild card? We're going to get stomped in the first round. That's not fun. And then you were stuck with a mediocre pick, and you're hopefully you didn't trade it, but you have a mediocre pick, and then you're not moving the needle as much as you could have. If you just kind of like how sports are nowadays, your team has to be awful before you can move forward. Almost in any sport. You can look at any team that's on top now, they were not great. And then now they're getting to be better. How many years was the Devils crap? A while. And now they're now everybody loves them because of all the young, exciting players they have.
Yeah.
Gotta start somewhere. You gotta start somewhere. So that's the way I look at it. So Blues fans, let's hope I'm wrong, but we'll see what happens. So we're gonna wrap it up there. So thanks for sticking with us. If you can get a hold of us on Twitter, it's at Blues Hockey NHL. And Chris is at.
I'm at Hossapalooza.
And you find us on Facebook. Instagram is Blues Hockey Podcast. Also, if you have a Threads account, we have that too, which I really don't post in that, but there's a Threads account if that's a thing. But usually those main three, we have it. And then also, I think you'll see us on, I'll be posting on Reddit and the Blues subreddit. So if you're on Reddit, say hi. We're going to be posting there a little bit more this season due to us not having a website anymore. So I'll be posting there. All of our links are on our social medias. It's on our Reddit account too. So if you need to find us anywhere, that's where the podcast will be posted. So the podcast is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher still a thing? No,
it's gone.
Stitcher is gone. So we do have iHeartRadios apparently, what people listen to us on the fourth most. And then Pocket Cast. So all those, anywhere, Amazon Music as well. So anywhere you Google Play, all those things, you know, anywhere you can find, anywhere outside of our now defunct website, you can literally find us there. So I think that's about all I got here. So let's go to our sponsors real quick. For everybody's back for this season. We have Alter State Comics. Go find them at alterstatecomics.com. And also they're located in Manchester. Go find them and get your comics, Funko Pops. They just posted the other day. They had a pretty kick-ass skate deck with our logo on it. That's going to go up at the shop. So that's pretty sweet. So thanks to the guys there.
Thanks for my pull list every month, guys.
Yeah, so give pull list, and Chris has a bunch of comics he needs to pick up this week. So I will be helping him out there. So
secondly, we're going to.
Okay, there we go. And let's see, we have Rockstar Tacos. So Rockstar Tacos down at the Gaslight Lounge, 4916 Shaw Avenue, Tuesday through Saturday. They're open daily specials, one minor change. Music trivia is now a monthly thing.
Yep.
Not every Tuesday like they used to. So, but they'll be themed and stuff. So it sounds great. They have some really great stuff there. So Will and Rebecca are great. So thanks again to them for sponsoring
if you
us.
If you're listening to this on Wednesday, the 11th, their daily special is the, there's a very famous upscale hotel in Louisville, Kentucky called the Brown. It's a very bougie hotel. They're famous for a sandwich, which is delicious, but the worst name ever created for a sandwich. It's called the Hot Brown. Mm. Terrible name. Awful name. It is one of the most delicious things you'll ever put in your mouth. Will and Rebecca are doing a Hot Brown taco on Wednesday, today, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, the 11th. Go get it. I'm telling you, if it's anything like the Hot Brown in Louisville and you know what it's going to be, you're going to thank me. And the second thing is, starting Friday, on the menu, for the remainder of, I think, at least through Thanksgiving, pumpkin pie empanadas.
Oh, man. That's Chris and also my wife's favorite, one of the favorite things this time of year.
Will, that is a track pants moment for me and your wife.
Yeah. So you guys, it looks like we'll be getting down there very soon to get some pumpkin pie empanadas. So
yes.
Go check them out for sure. And last but not least, Lucky Lola's. So everybody, Lucky Lola's is great. They got the sweet jalapeno heat,
which is delicious.
And the second thing, also they have the jerky. They have the beef jerky sticks now, which is great. Yeah. Chris's favorite, and now I get to use this more because I bought a new smoker last week. So Chris's favorite thing I can use. So I can use.
You can use salmon rub. Yeah, man,
salmon.
We're almost out of grilling season where, you know, everyone's rubbing their salmon day in and day out, especially on the weekends. But if you got that smoker, it's salmon rubbing season all year long.
Yeah, so it'll be fun times ahead there. So go to Lucky Lola's, check them out on Instagram and Facebook. So also Alter State Comics is on Instagram, so check them out and Facebook. So and then also Rockstar Tacos just on Facebook.
Yep.
They might have an Instagram, but I think
they do. They have an Instagram.
Okay, they do have an Instagram, but everything pretty much runs through the Facebook page. So check all that out. They probably some stuff goes through Instagram too, but usually a lot of the stuff is goes through there too. Well, that's it for me and Chris. So I'm gonna let Chris get some sleep because he's gotta get up early. So indeed. I'll let him go. Let's see how the season turns out. The Blues start against Dallas on Thursday. So thanks again for sticking with us during that'll be over, I think, our eighth. What do you add that up? Ninth year? 2014. Yeah, it's the ninth year. So we're almost at year 10. So thanks again for sticking with us. We're going to do our best this year to bring in some great Blues coverage. So thanks, everybody. And we'll talk to you soon.
See ya.